Give praise and thanks for the time that is ours to, in obedience to thy word, assemble ourselves together. We thank thee for thy grace, and we ask that God the Holy Spirit will take the principles and passages that we deal with this morning, make them a source of challenge and increase and spiritual growth in each of our lives through their applications, for we ask in Christ's name, amen. Study of the problem-solving devices. We've been dealing with the various compartments of the soul that make up the stream of consciousness. And let us briefly look over that again. Here's the entire chart. And if you're here for the first time, don't get shocked. This all makes sense. There are people here that understand everything that's on the board. There are some who have been here for years that still don't understand what's on the board. But nevertheless, to make it simple for you, for those of you that have ever heard of the concept called Operation Z, there it is. And then we have the right lobe of the soul making up the stream of consciousness. And then we have the various areas of our defenses, which we prefer to call FIBA as opposed to FLOT. And the reason why we do that is because I personally don't like the word FLOT. It sounds too flottish, whatever that means. This is the marine approach, FIBA, and of course it has to do with building your defenses. I watched some football yesterday, and some of you will also watch football today. I might peek in on a few, try to avoid the Arizona Cardinal game. I'm depressed enough without having to watch that. But needless to say, we notice that often the biggest problems that occur is the fact that the team has no lines of defense. And so the other teams just simply break through, apparently the team that ASU played yesterday at 50 to, I don't know, some ridiculous thing. And they interviewed the coach afterwards, and he said something to the effect that our defense wasn't doing what it should have done. Well, in the defenses of the soul, we are constantly, let's look at it this way, we're constantly under attack. You will notice that the wisdom of one of our men called this Scud missiles, a satanically coordinated underhanded deployment. And here are the various areas of attack that come to your soul. And then, of course, we have the lines of defense. And you have a tank here and a helicopter here and what appears to be an M-14 there and an F-14 there and an F-16 there. And then you have the battleship, which of course is occupation with the person of Christ. All of which is coordinated by the faith rest drill. What we're interested in primarily is right here, the principle of gap, or rather the principle of Operation Z, and then how the information gets from here into the various rooms of our soul. You see, if you don't have any room in your soul, then you have nothing with which to live the Christian life. Christian life is not something you live about, it's something you live with. You live under the power of God the Holy Spirit. That's the Christian life. Not how wonderful you are. I know some of you are wonderful. It's too bad. God is not impressed with our wonder. Matter of fact, you might as well put this in your mind and lock it in permanently. God is not impressed with us at all. Doesn't need us. Never did. That's demeaning, isn't it? Come to Bible class to get uplifted, and guy gets up and tells you they're not worth a thing. Now, we're talking about the Christian life. you might be worth something outside of the Christian life. You may get applause. You may have trophies. You may get all kinds of accolades from humanity. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the Christian life and the effects of the Christian life and what the Christian life is all about. It's all about this, the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, filling us and using us to his glory. And that's grace, by the way. And he doesn't need us. Doesn't need us. So these attacks are going to come in life. Well, if you have the proper doctrine here on the other side, you're able to fight it off. Just like you are physically. You have somewhat of an immune system. The older you get, the lesser you appreciate it because you don't see it as relevant and as prevalent as you did when you were younger. I noticed that I sliced my finger the other day making a salad for the evening, and it took considerably longer than it has ever taken. Usually it used to heal like in 2 or 3 days. This took about 2 or 3 weeks. And I can still see the scar. It may have been in the place where it is, but just not there anymore. But there's no excuse for not having defenses of our soul. The body may be open to disease and suffering, but God has given us a plan whereby the soul is protected through the problem-solving devices. There's only one that works outside of the power sphere, and that is the concept of rebound or confession of sin. And the reason why it works outside of that is because once you get out of fellowship, you have no faith. All the others are exercises in faith. So the next time you hear somebody talking about using rebound plus faith, you know where they're coming from. They don't know what they're talking about. No faith involved. Matter of fact, when we're out of fellowship, our faith is dead. We're acting the same as we did as non-believers. So how can we claim that it's something that we have to offer God by faith? Don't have it. And he forgives us by grace. He forgives us because it's been paid for. And by the way, you don't ask for forgiveness. You don't cite your sin and then say, now forgive me. If you cite your sin, that's the prerequisite. That comes from a Greek word that is very simple to understand. And for those of you that have been with us now for as many years as I've been here, I didn't realize it, but it's going on 32. Am I correct? Or did I miss a year somewhere? 68, 78, 88, 98. Okay. 31. You do your math your way, I do mine my way. You know that there are groups today that are trying to suggest that you need faith when you operate under the principles of confession of sin. No. Homologeo excludes that completely. Homologeo. Homo meaning the same as, and then logeo from logos meaning word. This is the noun form. It means to cite, to acknowledge what God has to say about that sin as it is in Scripture. And remember, please, homologeo is not giving God information. He already knows about it. Okay? In omniscience, he knew about it from eternity past. What he wants is not what he thinks about it. He wants you to think what he thinks about it. We know what sin is in the mind of God. It is despicable. But see, we come up with these excuses. Well, you know, if it wasn't for what? When was the last time somebody twisted your arm and said, sin? We do that freely on our own. Unfortunately, too often we enjoy it because we don't realize its effects in our lives. Remember, there are a lot of things that we enjoy in life that eventually come back to bite us. The person who has done what they've done when they were younger, the drugs and all the rest of that stuff, and then as they grow older, they wonder why their body is falling apart. Well, the body couldn't take those drugs. Your body was not designed to react to drugs. In fact, it can't react to them. Under Operation Z, well, one of these it works. Oh, wonderful. That's even better. I missed. Whoa, look at that. I've got a briefcase full of black ones, but they'll just have to wait. But it looks better anyway for now. Here's the pastor teacher who's communicating Bible doctrine under the filling of the Holy Spirit, teaching your human spirit. That's what's going on right now. Or maybe not. You see, because the recipient, you, have to be equally filled with the Spirit so that you can understand spiritual truth. We found that out from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians 2, it's very clear that the natural mind, the unbelieving mind, cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. At the same time, when you and I, as believers, are out of fellowship, we cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because there are only two areas where we can think. One is in the area of the Spirit, resulting in spiritual motivation. By the way, you know that spirituality is an absolute. You're either or. This nonsense of relative spirituality. And every so often I get a thing across my desk which says, how spiritual are they? And I want to write down, well, I did once and I caused a furor at the seminary. I said, the question is not whether or not they're degreed in spirituality, but whether or not they are spiritual at that moment. And I don't know as I write these words. And I don't. I can only assume that when you walked in here this morning, you did something about getting back into fellowship if you weren't before you got in. And that's up to you. I know there's one time of the month where all of us are frightened, and that is when we come to the Lord's Supper. That's frightening. Because there you better be in fellowship. But anyway, your human spirit has to be taught. We studied this word spirit as well in 1 Corinthians 2. And remember, please, there are various uses of the word pneuma. Or if you prefer that silly Bible school pronunciation, pneuma. All the letters in the Greek language in a sentence and in a word are pronounced. Okay, we say psalm, they say psalma. Okay? It's pneuma, not pneuma. Just thought I'd get you to understand that. Hard for me to go against a language that I was raised with, which was my first language. I had to learn your language. So don't destroy mine, please. Immediately then, by faith, it is transferred into the left lobe where it becomes gnosis. Now, gnosis is the English translation, or rather English pronunciation. Gnosis is the way it's pronounced in Greek. Notice the G is in there. Unfortunately, if we didn't know the difference, all we have in our English Bible is the word knowledge. And sometimes the word gnosis is used, and other times the word epinosis is used. Well, you better know which one of the two are used in that passage, because they're not the same. One has the preposition in front of it, which intensifies the form. See, the Greeks had a marvelous way of making a word intensified. They just simply added prepositions to it. Like that word in Ephesians, exceedingly abundantly, it has four prepositions. It's very difficult to translate into English. In fact, there are some Greek words that have no English equivalents whatever. So what do we do with those? We smile. I try to give you as much of it as I can and as close as I can to the text, but sometimes you miss it. So it comes here and it becomes gnosis. That is unapplied doctrine. It is doctrine learned. It can be doctrine recalled, but cannot be used. It must end up here, which of course is the right lobe of the soul, called epinosis, the experiential part of your knowledge. Now, what happens then is that information is fed into the various compartments of your soul, depending upon. And that's why, by the way, categorical teaching is the only way to teach, because you can very easily then take the category and fit it into its proper category, which is Greek for category. The first place that doctrine goes is the frame of reference. We've already studied this, but that is the first compartment of the stream of consciousness. The frame of reference actually sets up new information and the ability for you to understand new information. See, if you didn't have a frame of reference, then you couldn't understand what was being communicated. Some of you, for example, have probably been in a room where people who were talking had great knowledge of computers. And I still, to this day, can't appreciate, with all of the technology that we have on computers, how computer illiterate a lot of people are, including individuals on television. But then they don't even know how to spell, so what difference would that make? I think if your knuckles don't hit the ground, you're qualified to be a radio commentator. And if they do hit the ground, that's a clue. Don't listen. Why is it we always take advice of actors and people who knew nothing about the subject? Mysteries of the Bible, for example. Mystery to whom? There is a mystery of the Bible called the mystery of the New Testament. It's the mystery doctrine, where Jew and Gentile would be one in Christ. That's not what they're talking about. They're trying to find anything as an excuse to denounce its authenticity. There may or may not have been a man called Adam or Eve. Or if there were, Eve probably was not his first wife. Where do they come up with these ridiculous things? I think they've been smelling too much of something, or drinking too much of something. the frame of reference, sets up your ability to learn more. If you have a frame of reference with regard to computers, well, you can learn more regarding computers. If you know nothing regarding a computer, then nothing makes any sense. Anyone that has any knowledge of a computer knows what the term boot up means. But you say boot up to a person who has no knowledge of a computer, and they think that means to put your shoes on. I remember years ago, and I must confess my ignorance. Well, we used to have a very large computer in the school office. And I had no knowledge of computers, whatever. This thing was horrendous, by the way. It was the size of a washing machine. I'm not sure what it could even do or didn't do. But I remember Glenn saying to me one time, it's useless because it has a virus. A very serious virus. So I looked inside. I didn't see any bugs crawling around in there. Honestly. There's some viruses now that are so dangerous they can actually erase everything on your hard drive before you have the ability to shut your machine off. Hard drive, there's another one. I could see why we call the larger recording data floppies, but why do we call the little ones floppies? You can't bend those. Oh, you can. I bend them when I'm throwing them away. Boot up sequence. Microsoft. It's terrifying to some. Apple. Macintosh. Frame of reference. You know, folks, when everything fails, read the instructions. You've got people that are trying to live the Christian life outside of the teaching of the Word of God. You can't do it. This is our instructional manual. This tells us where to go and where to find what we want to do. So that information can be fed out into the conscious part of the soul. We covered 1 Corinthians 2 with that regard. Secondly, memory center. Memory center is a marvelous thing. Now, I understand that there are some herbs that are now on the market. Ginkgo, I think, is the name of one of them, which is supposed to promote your ability to remember things. I always get a kick out of people that call me on the phone because they say, is there anybody hard of hearing in your house? And I go, what? Memory center is that place where you've retained and metabolized God's Word. See, it's obvious to me that 100% of you have metabolized food. Whether you did so this morning or not is dependent on how much time you had or your desire. Some people just don't eat breakfast. Yeah, I know the whole story about breakfast being the most important meal of the day, etc., etc. And you should eat lightly before you retire in the evening. Your evening meal should not be the biggest meal of the day. And I know for a fact that we eat wrong in this country, but we sure look healthy for eating so wrong. And we don't get enough of this or we don't get enough of that. I get a kick out of modern medicine because they're always making an issue about vitamins and vitamin supplements. And they say, oh, you don't need that. And then they preface it by saying, provided you've had a balanced diet. Well, that's the problem, folks. We don't. So we need to take the A's and the D's and the B's and the C's and all the rest that go with it. Now, right now, I'm going A through E. It helps. Now, where was I? While the frame of reference is the retention of that metabolized doctrine, memory center is the recall of that metabolized doctrine. See, it'd be useless if you had all this located in your soul and you couldn't get it out of there. Of course, be mindful of the fact there are many believers that have nothing in their soul that's been metabolized from the Word of God. They've gone to church and they think that the example of prayer is just simply raising your hands and making funny noises. No, that's just a person who's raising their hand making funny noises. Had nothing to do with prayer. Prayer has to be intelligible. That's why I mentioned earlier about these unspoken requests. Don't ever come up with this unspoken request, especially to me, because I'm going to tell you. You either speak it or I'm not interested. What do? Go to the Lord and say, this is an unspoken request. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to ask for it anyway. Boy, that's loaded with intelligence, isn't it? God says, well, if you're not interested in knowing what it is, then how should I be interested in what it is? Of course, we base it, I guess, on the omniscience of God, that he knows all things. So he knows the unspoken as well as the spoken. Well, he knows the prayer before it's offered anyway. He's always known it. Do you ever stop to think that anything that you will ever pray about or anything that you will ever do as an individual has already been known by God from eternity past? Remember, there is a phrase that God never uses. Oops, I missed that one. My wife will occasionally say, did you take your medication today? And I'll say, oops, I missed that one. Sometimes I do it on purpose. Just being ornery. The principle of that rate of learning must always exceed the rate of forgetting. And we do forget. Time is an important factor in forgetting. We just simply forget. You know, we have a philosophy here, use it or you'll lose it. Abuse it and you'll lose it. Crossword puzzles, for example, apparently are thought-provoking. Keep you going. There are certain things that some of us do not do because of what we consider brain clutter. I don't read fiction. Matter of fact, I've confined my reading over the years to that which is relevant to God's Word. Because the other, to me, is superficial. Now, that's not no way designed for those of you that, you know, you lie in bed at night and you sit there and read for whatever. Till your eyelids close. I wish I could say, for example, that I can sleep as readily now as I did 5 years ago, but I can't. I don't sleep like I used to sleep. I appreciated the fact that public praying should be short. I was afraid I might fall asleep. Close my eyes. Now, for some reason, I can lie in bed for hours, and unfortunately, I'm thinking. I'd like to shut that thinking process down at that moment. Maybe that's next to the valve called hormones. The various ways in which we memorize things. Some are called by association. Be careful with association, by the way, because if you try to remember a person's name, you're supposed to associate that name with something else that you can recall easily. But too often we call the person by the association rather than the name. The other is simply called rote. That's where you just simply repeat something over and over again, simply. Again and again, simply. A lot of us memorized a lot that way. We just simply repeated it. I know we expect our children to do so when there are plays involved. Speaking of plays, we're still looking for help for the Christmas play. At least I think so. They should be practicing as we speak. You can always use help. I remember years and years ago, while I was still in junior high school, and I was asked to give an account. This was during the atomic bomb era. And apparently, we've already dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And I was going to give a speech on the atomic bomb. What they didn't tell me is that when I stood before 2,000 students, that I'm liable to have a mental block, which I did. I just got out there and looked in terror, shaking, saying nothing. Never forget that. Don't remember the speech, but I remember the experience. Also, it is a proven fact that you remember more in some areas than you do in others. An example being, to make it simple, you retain about 40% of what you hear. That may even be high. Maybe 30%. That's why I keep reviewing. I know some of you have immediate recall. That's fine, but what about the other clucks? People don't have that. They have to hear it over and over and over and over again. I've always found it very interesting that those that complain the most about reviewing doctrine are those that can sit week after week and sing the same songs out of a hymn book and never complain. Think about that one. I haven't heard it lately, but for a while there was a thing going around, well, he reviews too much. Oh, really? And you're going to forget a lot of what you hear. You can prove that today when you go home and say to yourself on the way home or after you get home, let an hour or two go by and then try to recall everything that was said. Well, you're not going to retain it. The percentage gets higher when you see something. That's why visual aids are so important in teaching. But the one thing that is the highest of all is what you do. Experience. I'm not suggesting, by the way, by saying that, that experience is the best teacher. Because it may not be. You may be doing the wrong thing. That's experience. No, let's put it in balance. And the balance would be that you have the proper frame of reference, and under recall or in memory center, information is fed out into your stream of consciousness so you can use it throughout the day. That's the way it should be. That's what the Christian life is all about, by the way. It's not making funny little noises. When my wife makes funny little noises, I go to bed in my office. And she's not praying. She's just making funny little noises. And it took me all that time to finally get to sleep, and then little funny noises. I don't want to hear any little funny noises. So how do you know you're not making any funny noises? Well, I'm by myself. It won't matter. Who am I going to disturb? I guess it'd be pretty bad if you woke yourself up with your funny little noises. You know, sit up in the middle of the bed, what was that? But you're going to forget. This is why it's important for inculcation of Bible doctrine and, hold on, repetition. Today, tomorrow, the next day, the next year, on and on and on and on, over and over and over and over again until you finally get it. And if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. That's the way it works. I always get a kick out of certain people that used to serve when they were younger in churches, and they say, well, I used to be this and I used to be that. You may not realize it, but you're a has-been. When God is through with you, you're going to be lowered. And not until. You know, this fact of immortality we all possess as long as we're in the will of God. You know, of course, that the believer is immortal until his task is complete. Now, I didn't say he's all in one piece. Or feeling as well as he might have felt when he was in his 30s. I can remember when I first came here, I hadn't hit 40 yet. Close, but not, I think I was 38, thereabouts. Well, at 38 years old, I could very easily teach better than 10 to 14 Bible classes a week all over the valley. You want to get rid of me quickly? Put me under that schedule now. At the present time, it's 2. Here a couple of months ago, it was none. Well, I get impatient. I really do. Some of you think I'm just, you know, how are you enjoying your vacation? Thank you, but no thank you. If that's a vacation, I can do without it. Then I'm reminded every so often by people who have had any kind of surgery that surgery takes time. Well, I don't want to take time. I wanted to come back the following week. God has such a sense of humor. So do my doctors. You know, I knew I was important in life, but 9 specialists? Come on. I had a few that just stuck their head in the door. How you doing? They charged me $90. If I ever have to go back again, I'm not going to answer them. Doesn't Medicare pay for that? Yeah. When the rate of learning is greater than the rate of forgetting, the total quantity of metabolized doctrine increases both your frame of reference and in your memory center. See, hopefully you're learning more than you're forgetting. Otherwise, you're fighting a losing battle. That would suggest, by the way, that if you didn't drive a car for 10 years, you'd forget everything you ever knew about driving a car. But we have little expressions in life called it's like riding a bicycle. I haven't been on a bicycle for probably that many years. Matter of fact, I haven't been on a motorcycle for so many years. I'll wait till I've recovered a little more. When the rate of forgetting is greater than the rate of learning, then the total doctrine, metabolized doctrine, decreases both in your frame of reference and memory center. That's why I couldn't be here for most classes, but we have others that are able to teach you. Yeah, I know there are some of you get the idea, well, so-and-so's not my right pastor, so I don't have to come to Bible class. You're the one's going to suffer for it. And we don't have these classes just to keep doors open. If we wanted to do that, we'd just open the doors and put on the lights and have everybody just sit around playing cards. Or bingo. No, because what you're getting generally is the metabolized doctrine in the teacher's soul that is provocative for your review. It provokes review. So again, when your rate of learning is greater than your rate of forgetting, the total quantity of doctrine increases. Whereas on the other hand, when your rate of forgetting is greater than your rate of learning, then you forget, and it decreases. And that would explain why, in some cases, when people are not involved in God's Word on a regular basis, they eventually forget what they ever knew. Not only do they go into reversionism, which is a dangerous situation, because that erodes doctrine in the soul. It destroys it. I know that for a fact because we had people that visited us from our last church. And they would sit there and I know I taught what I taught and when I taught it. And they said, you never taught that before. No, you forgot it. I taught it. And imagine the life where a person has lived successfully learning doctrine and then they finally give it up. Yeah, we know of people that have given it up. There's a group that Acres were telling us about that were there in Washington and they went from doctrinal teaching to Greek Orthodoxy. Man, if that isn't from heaven to hell. Say, well, what does Greek Orthodoxy offer the unbeliever? Nothing. What does it offer the believer? Nothing. What does it offer? Nothing. Except tradition. You want tradition? Read it in a book. I spoke to one of their pastors who happened to be a believer, rare as it might seem. And I said to him, I says, you know, if you ever want any information regarding the original text, see me, because I have at least 4 Bible programs on my computer. And he says, for example, what can you do? And I says, well, I can parse any word in the New Testament. He says, what's that? Breaking it down into its principal parts. Why would you want to do that? See, the circulation then in your stream of consciousness becomes less and less important. Remember, there are only 2 areas of motivation in the life of the believer, and that's the sin nature and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit thrives on His Word. I know this is difficult to understand. God loves His Word. And the only reason He loves us is because of the Word in us. Whether it be the incarnate Word, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, or the written word. I know if I took a survey and asked how many here would like to be blessed, write it down on a sheet of paper, I doubt if I'd get any that said, nah, not for me. But are you willing to pay the price? Say, what does it cost? Learning the Word of God. That's God's way. Man's way is a bunch of hoopla. God's way is a classroom of believers that come together. That's what this is, you know. It's God's classroom. And as you learn, your frame of reference increases, your memory center increases, and the circulation then goes out into your stream of consciousness, and you're able to meet the situations of life. Hey, life is difficult enough without trying to answer life's questions with the old sin nature's answers. It's going to fail every time. Doesn't have the answers. Therefore, circulation of metabolized doctrine throughout the entire stream of consciousness either increases or decreases based on whichever. See, if your rate of learning and retention is higher than your rate of forgetting, then you increase. If the rate of learning and forgetting increases, then the stream of consciousness information decreases. For the mature believer, maximum doctrine in the soul, they have the answer to most of life's questions. Notice I said most, not all. If you think you have all of life's questions, well, see me afterwards. I'd be more than glad to pronounce and to do your funeral. Because if nothing else, people will show up that I'll be able to witness to. And your death just might be the illustration of what not to be before you die. You know, of course, you're only left here for 2 reasons. One is to be an example to others of what a believer should be. And the other is an example to believers in what you shouldn't be. You answer it, I can't. I can't for you. You might want to project and think in your mind, suppose all believers were like me. That should result in a phrase called ugh. Or if you're more eloquent, oh no. Ugh is so kind of gutturally, you understand. That's why teaching is such a phenomenal experience. Because you're inculcating into the mind of a younger that which you have developed over the years. Not only as a parent, but in the area of doctrine. And that, of course, primarily should be the parent's responsibility. By the way, where'd you ever get the idea that it was the church's responsibility to teach your children? Now, I'm not against it. And where'd you ever get the idea that it's the church's responsibility to teach your children the gospel? Don't ever let anyone cheat you out of leading your own children to Christ. See, we're living in a television mentality. I wasn't going to read this, but I'll close with this. I think it's worth reading. Maybe it was on my mind to begin with. Not even sure where I got this. Does it matter? Oh yeah, Patty Grimes, okay. A man came home from work late again, tired and irritated, to find his 5-year-old son waiting at the door for him. "Daddy, may I ask you a question?" "Yeah, sure, what is it?" replied the man. "Daddy, how much do you make an hour?" "Well, that's none of your business. What makes you ask such a question?" the man replied angrily. "I just want to know, please tell me, how much do you make in an hour?" "Well, if you must know, I make $20 an hour." "Oh," the little boy replied, head bowed. He said, "Daddy, may I borrow $10? The father was furious. "That's the only reason you wanted to know how much money I make. It's just so you can borrow and buy some silly toy or some other nonsense, then you can march yourself straight into your room. You don't need any more toys. Go play with the ones you already have. I work long, hard hours every day and don't have time for this." The little boy quietly went to his room and shut the door. The man sat and started to get even madder about the little boy's questioning. How dare he ask such a question? How much money did I make? But after an hour or so, the man calmed down. He started to think that he may have been a little bit hard on his son. Maybe there was something he really needed to buy with that $10. And he really didn't ask for money very often anyway. The man went to the door of the little boy, opened the door, and he said, "Are you asleep?" The boy was lying in bed. He said, "No, Daddy, I'm awake. So I've been thinking maybe I was too hard on you earlier. It's been a long day, and I took my aggravation out on you. Here's the $10 you asked for." The little boy sat up beaming. "Oh, thank you, Daddy." And he reached under his pillow and he came out with some crumpled up bills. The man, seeing the boy already money, started to get angry again. The little boy slowly counted out his money. Then he looked up to the man. "Why did you want more money when you had some already?" "Because I didn't have enough." "Daddy, I have $20 now. Can I buy an hour of your time?" Jerker, huh? Can I borrow an hour of your time? Don't let time with your children slip through your fingers without having spent some quality with them. Father, we're so grateful and thankful for your grace and for the time that we've spent together this morning. Challenge us by these things, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.